this okay where you are? So before I pray for you, would you want to just introduce yourself and tell us what your current role is?
Morning, everybody. You okay? Good. I'm Sian, originally from Mid Wales, but I've been for the last 23 years up in Bangor in North Wales, where I've been heading a performing and expressive arts faculty. So essentially, I'm a musician who is teaching music and drama. January the 2nd this year, I moved down from beautiful mountains and beaches and long country walks to Cardiff. And I absolutely love it. This is the fulfillment of something that has been in my heart since I was 17. So currently I am the director of Evangelical Alliance in Wales. That's me.
Let's pray then. Father, thank you so much for bringing Sian to us this morning. Thank you for her and her her lovely personality and the way that she loves you and she loves to share your word. I pray that you would speak through her and that you would give us ears to hear what you are saying through her. Amen.
Thank you. It's brilliant to be with you this morning. Thank you so, so much for welcoming me here. I was meant to be here in June or July, I think, and then something came up at my home church, and so I asked Chris if he could possibly reschedule, and do you know what? He was so gracious. So that's why I'm here now and not in June. So I really honour you as a church for being flexible and gorgeous and wonderful. How many of you know what the Evangelical Alliance do or who we are? Or have you even heard about us before, anybody? Yeah, a few. That's wonderful. Do you know what? That's actually a higher percentage than in most churches. I've been given permission just to give you a kind of lowdown about what we do, and then we're going to get into the Word of God. Is that okay? Cool. We have a little 2 minute 15, I think, 2 minute 25 clip as to who we are.
Have you heard of the Evangelical Alliance? Ever wondered what we're for? We're all for unity. When you look around, we are heartbroken to see the nations we love riddled with division. Division in families, division in political parties, division in communities. But we're all for painting a different picture. One of a growing, vibrant, united church, colourful and diverse, and standing firmly on God's word. We are here to fulfil Jesus' prayer that we might become the family of God united. One people, one voice, one hope. We're all for advocacy. When the world questions the relevance of our faith, we demonstrate to the UK parliaments and assemblies how Christians are absolutely good news for society. We tell stories of how the church is housing the homeless, feeding the hungry, and bringing much needed public leadership to towns and cities. We give voice to the church, speaking out on the issues that matter. When our faith is being pushed to the sidelines, we want to graciously and coherently fight for the religious liberty of all. We challenge the story. We say there's a better way. And we're all for mission. In a broken, hopeless world, we show how Jesus changes everything. We want to see many people invited into a relationship with him, because salvation through Jesus is the best thing possible. We exist to unite the church in evangelism and equip people like you to share your faith with confidence and boldness. We encourage the whole church to play a part in fulfilling the awesome challenge that is the Great Commission. What is the Evangelical Alliance for? We are for you, the Jesus-following teachers, police officers, CEOs, farmers, doctors, church leaders, artists, factory workers, retailers and journalists who are busy being salt and light in the world. We are for you, so join us.
Brilliant. So hopefully that just gives you a little sort of lowdown as to who we are and what we do. If I had to break it down even further, I would say that there were kind of three R's that we represent. So we're highly relational. We are people. We love working with different churches, networking people, so that essentially you're not reinventing the wheel the whole time. So we love to just get out there and hear about what Jesus is doing all over the country. We love to tell your stories to other people, so whether that's at the highest level of governments, at councils, or whether to other churches. Don't get too hung up as to what the word evangelical means, because that has taken on quite a few connotations in the last few years. We have a very fixed basis of faith that's been since 1846. It hasn't changed. So there are 12 different things that we consider an evangelical to be. But again, don't get too het up. Essentially, we are trying to be good news people in a bad news world. So if you're wondering what an evangelical is to us, good news people in a bad news world. And you know, we're comprised of tens of thousands of individuals, thousands of churches and hundreds of organizations. You didn't get that, did you? Because I was like, I'm second language English, if you're wondering why I stumble over my language sometimes. So we are comprised of hundreds of organizations, thousands of churches, tens of thousands of individuals. So that's relational. We're also looking to resource the church. So if you visit our website, there are loads of free resources that you can get for your small group, or if you're looking for ways to creatively share your faith with people. It's all free on the website, because we love to give away free things. So please go to eauk.org. And then finally, having been relational and resourced you, we love to represent you. And as I say, since 1846, we've been representing the evangelical voice at Westminster, in Holyrood, and the Saneth, and at Stormont when it sits. And we literally sit on dozens of committees where we are asked, what do evangelical Christians think about X, Y, Z? And if you want to ask me later about the difference we're making, there are just scores of different individual consultations that we've been able to speak into and bring really the salt and light of Jesus into. We believe essentially that at the moment, society is shaking. Feels like the UK is in quite a bit of chaos. And so at the moment, we are just there praying. Some of our workers are in 10 Downing Street. We are certainly in all of the different assemblies and governments and whatever across the UK. We are just trying to be the voice of Jesus to a world and a society in chaos. And our voice is being heard. If you're an organization that's been going since 1846, people know that you've got longevity. So we definitely have the favor of God to be able to just speak into circumstances. So if you'd like to know some more later, please come and find me at the back over there. Otherwise, I'll be standing there like a Billy No-Mates. Today, if you would like to join us, we've got this beautifully ethically sourced bag full of goodies, little keyring, little pen, little magazine of what we are about and what we do. And also, as a freebie, because you're gorgeous, we'll just be really happy to give you one of our books, Gavin Calver is about to take over as our CEO in December. He and Anne, his gorgeous wife, have written a book called Game Changers. You can take one of those for free. Or this is Papa Steve, as we call him in our office, our current general director, awesome man of God, talking about how he's been helping to shape the evangelical world over the last 10 years. Or if, like me, you're a mega foodie, simply eat. Which is stories of faith and food and how you can be used in your house just to welcome people to the table and bring Jesus to them. How cool is that? So I'd love to give you those today. If you're wondering, well, is there a cost to joining? There is, but it's a mere £3 a month to join the Evangelical Alliance and add your voice to the growing amount of people across the UK who want to stand together. So I've put you all to sleep. That's good, isn't it? No, seriously. I used to be a teacher for 19 years. So if you If you smile at me or if you respond in some way, that will definitely help me to preach better. It's not because I'm a raging Pentecostal, although I aspire to it, but you can definitely, you know, nod or say yes or no, I don't really agree with that, or amen, Sean, you actually have a point. So I want to start this morning by telling you a true story of something that happened just before the summer holidays. So we're now onto the preaching slides. Is that okay, buddy? Awesome. It was a Monday night, and it was the 8th of July. I know that because it was just after my birthday. And I was sitting on my sofa after a long day at work. It's approximately 6:15, and I was getting ready to go out to a meeting at 7 o'clock. First things first, I thought I would text one of my friends, and I'm sitting there on my sofa, just relaxing. All of a sudden, through the corner of my eye, I see something walking along the sideboard. And in my mind's eye, I'm thinking, that's too big to be a spider. Oh, yeah. So I finish my text, keeping calm. And I look down, and from underneath the little chair opposite my sofa, there were two little eyes peering up at me. Now, you'll see from the size of me, I'm not exactly known for my speed and athleticism, but I Usain bolted it out of the living room, slammed the door, legged it to the back of the house, and stood on top of one of the dining room chairs. And I'm there with my phone going, what do I do? What do I do? And I'm absolutely gripped and paralyzed with fear. And just as I'm trying to work out what to do, another one comes scuttling out of another living room and is running down the corridor towards me. And I'm like, that was without volume, otherwise it would have been too loud and broken your sound system. And he looks at me like, so what? And he turns around and he scuttles back into the other living room, and I'm like, off the chair, to the door, slam the door, and then back into the dining room and on top of the chair. And I'm like, oh my word, what is going on in this crazy household? But what does every girl do when she's lost and she doesn't know how to cope? She does not, sir. She phones her best friend. So I phone my best friend, and she's also called Sean, so just bear with her. I'm like, Sean, it's really disgusting. I think there are rats in my house. And she's like, oh, Sean, oh, that's disgusting. Oh, I can't even talk to you. And she hands the phone over to her husband. I'm like, well, that was about as useful as a chocolate teapot. And she was like, he was like, Sean, hi, what's the matter? Because they were obviously just in the middle of their food. I was like, Owen, there's rats in my house. And he's like, yeah, I don't know if you remember, but we're like 192 miles away, so can't really help you. And he put the phone down on me. Anyway, all of that to say there was a misalignment in my brain. My brain was still in the old life that I had. I used to live in North Wales. And so my brain was still aligned with my old support network. Who would I phone in a crisis? Well, my best friend and her husband. But I hadn't caught up in my mind with my new life. Does that make sense? There was a misalignment. I was still living in the kind of North Wales mindset from 8 months ago. Why am I telling you stories about Ratgate? It's a frivolous story. But today I want to look at a more serious case of misalignment. A misalignment that had consequences. And if you've got your Bible, there's an account in John Mark in Acts 13 to 15. He's not a guy that we hear about too often. To be honest, there's only about 10 verses about this man in the entire Bible. But do you agree that we can learn something from everybody in the Bible? Amen? Thank you. Two people. Thank you. Just to give you a bit of context, though, what we do know about John Mark was that he was the son of a widow. Hello, I have muted myself. 19 years as a music teacher, still can't use a microphone. Okay, so John Mark was the son of a widow, and occasionally the early Christians used to go and meet in their house. You can read about that in Acts chapter 12 if you need convincing. We also know from Colossians 4, verse 10, that John Mark was the cousin of Barnabas. Heard of him? Cool. Please remember that, because that's going to become important later on. But let's just start by reading Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, him who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. So John Mark had joined up with Barnabas, his cousin, and with Saul on their first missions trip. And they were on assignment, traveling around, preaching the word of God in the synagogues. We hear that John Mark wasn't the top dog. He wasn't the leader. He was just there as their helper. He was there to serve. But together, they were on assignment. So let's just pause there for a second. John Mark, on assignment, traveling around, preaching the word of God. I wonder, do you know what your assignment is? Do you know what your assignment is? God hasn't just put you on the earth to wake up in the morning, eat, work, pay the bills, sleep, repeat. God has a unique plan and purpose for each one of us. What has he called you to do and to be? Which talents, which giftings has he placed uniquely inside of you for you to use and extend in his kingdom? When I moved to a new house back in January, I decided that I'd bite the bullet and invest in some more furniture so that I could house all of the stuff that I seem to have accumulated. There comes a point, doesn't there, when actually your Billy bookcases just need an upgrade. So I went back to IKEA just down in Cardiff and just got some new furniture. But what really struck me was that when IKEA make furniture, they know exactly what each piece is for. Whether or not you follow the instructions, each part has a part to play. Something fixes to something else that builds the bigger picture. If I was to ask you what your purpose is, would you be able to give me an answer? What is your God-given assignment? You see, Ephesians 2, verse 10 says this: we are God's handiwork. Some translations say masterpieces. Some say workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I think Jesus longs for us to know exactly what our bespoke assignment is. The days of just being good Christians and sort of people who are cutesy with Jesus, I think they're gone. You've only got to watch the news and read your Bibles to understand that we live in days where Jesus' return is coming ever, ever nearer. And so there's a greater urgency than ever for the children of God to know who they are, what their lives are for, and what their purpose is. You have been made for a purpose. You are born with a cause. And you have a destiny to fulfill. You see, we were born from the promises of God, into the promises of God, for the promises of God. Likewise, we were born from the purposes of God, into the purposes of God, for the purposes of God. God created you because he wanted one and he didn't have one. You were born because of your purpose. You were not born by mistake or even the will of your parents. You were created by God and for God. So what is your assignment? Let's go back to Acts chapter 13. And in verse 13, there's just a throwaway phrase, really. And it says this: from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. Now, when you read in the book of Acts, that's just a throwaway phrase. It's like an FYI. and it doesn't seem to know much, to say much rather. But what becomes clear in Acts 15 is that that was really significant. Let's have a look at Acts 15, 36 to 41. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul didn't think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So, there's been a massive disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Are we going to take John Mark or not on the next missions trip? John Mark had apparently left them in Pamphylia and he hadn't carried on with the work. And we've just read that this causes such a disagreement that the team goes their separate ways. Barnabas sails off to Cyprus with John Mark and Paul chooses Silas to go with him to Syria and Cilicia. How sad is that? How sad is that, that a disagreement will cause them to go their separate ways? So we'll look at point number two on the screen. Having asked you what your individual bespoke assignment is, what's your assignment as a church? What's your vision as the people of God? What is it that God has called you to be, to do, to achieve, to establish that can only be done as a team? You see, it strikes me that all these men had a clear assignment to extend the kingdom of God. God's hand of favor was all over their lives. And yet they separated because John Mark had left them. In fact, he didn't just stop doing the work. The Bible says that he deserted them. That's a strong word, isn't it? So what's your assignment as a church here in Woodville Baptist? Do you know? Does it matter? Well, yeah, it does. Because if we're going to see Cardiff saved, if we're going to see this nation of Wales transformed, then we need to work together, amen? The Bible describes us as being one body with Christ at the head, with each part of the body designed to play different parts, contribute different things. We all bear different fruit, but it's the same fruit bowl. What will you bring to the table as Woody Church? Because what Woody Church brings gets added to the same fruit bowl as the church down the road, which gets added to the church in the next suburb, which gets added to all the other churches in Cardiff, which gets added to all the things in South Wales and the things going on across the nation and then the UK and then across Europe and across the planet. Do you know what your assignment is as a church? Have you aligned yourself fully to that vision? Are you on board? Are you all in? You see, it really, really mattered that John Mark was no longer focused on the task he'd been given. Now, he didn't exactly do badly. John Mark is the guy who is thought to have written the Gospel of Mark, so he kind of had some achievements in his life. Do you know what I'm saying? But just imagine what they could have done. What territory, what ground they could have taken had they all cooperated and worked together as a team. What's clear is that at that time, they were out of alignment with each other. So we've talked about assignment, your assignment, the church's assignment. Let's have a look at the issue of alignment. What does it look like in practice? It's time to be kingdom focused. Not to focus on comparisons, oh, he does that much better than me, or she's much brighter, or she can bring so much more, or have you seen when he does that? I mean, it's just so much more skilled. Comparison suggests that we believe that what the Lord has put on us isn't enough. I would hate to stand before the Father and say, do you know what? You didn't give me enough. You didn't give me what it takes to take this nation, because that would be so offensive to the Lord. What the Lord has placed on each one of us is enough when joined together with the rest of the body to really bear fruit that lasts here in Cardiff. Do you believe that? Time to be kingdom focused, not to focus on comparisons. Second thing, it's time for cooperating, not competing. No mini adventures, no going off on one, not doing our own thing. Because you know what? Our own thing is only ever meant to contribute to the thing that the body of Christ is doing. We're here to serve God, to love God, to serve one another, to love one another. It's time to cooperate and not compete. Then finally, it's time to call out the gold in one another. Not soppily. Oh, I love you. I love it when you do this. Do you know what? You're really great. You are. You're amazing. I'm not talking about being soppy. I'm actually talking about being really sincere and calling out the greatness that is on each one of our lives. Do you know, when I was in leadership of a church up in North Wales, we decided as a leadership team, the 10 of us who were on that leadership team, just to start appreciating one another, to start cheering one another on really fiercely, to intentionally, strategically call out the gold in one another. And so we would use social media, tweets or Facebook, or we would text one another, just saying what we deeply appreciated about one another, what we valued and placed worth on in one another. And do you know what? It changed the whole atmosphere, not just of our leadership church, leadership team, but of the church. It changed the atmosphere in the church because people saw that actually the leaders were united, that they loved one another, that they served one another. And so people in the congregation started doing the same. And you'd get messages on your Facebook going, do you know what? Thanks for doing that. Because when you did that, that really blessed me. Or you know, when you brought me a casserole, do you know what? I didn't have any money left for that meal. And you fed my kids. Seriously, that was one of them. Or another one was, I told my kids to fill their boots when they came to yours for tea because we didn't have any money. Thanks for feeding them. Genuinely. Start calling the gold out in one another and see how the atmosphere just comes alive. It's time to be kingdom focused, cooperating, not competing. Time to call out the gold in one another. Our political system in this nation is shaking. Our country feels like we're in chaos. There's never been a more important time to focus on Jesus, to focus on his kingdom, to know what our assignment is individually as a church, and then to align ourselves with God and with one another. The church has a manifesto. The church has an agenda, and it is to extend and increase and build the kingdom of God on earth. So let me ask you to finish. What part is God calling you to play as an individual in all this? What part is he calling you to play as a church? And who will you align yourselves with in order to get the job done? Sophie, I wonder, would you come back and just play a bit? You will have heard probably hundreds, if not thousands, of messages during your time as a Christian, if you've been a Christian for a while. We're going to process. I'm going to have just a few minutes as Sophie plays, if that's okay, just to think about these three things. Lord, what are you saying to me? And we're not going to look at our neighbours or our Facebook or anything. We're just going to be doing business with our Father in heaven, one-to-one business. Father, I think this is what's on your heart for me. Is that right? Am I fully aligned with your purpose for me? What do I need to tweak? And so we're just going to listen, just for a few moments, to him. And then I'll pray. And just while every head is bowed and every eye is shut, maybe there's somebody here today who hasn't perhaps thought about this before, and that's okay. Maybe you're new to church, maybe you've never asked whether or not God has an individual plan for your life. Well, the good news is, he does. Whether you're a million miles away from God at this moment, or whether you're running in an opposite direction from him, he loves you, and he has an incredible plan for your life. He wants to prosper you, not harm you. He wants to give you hope and a future. The Bible says that each one of us has fallen short of God's standards. We've all messed up. We've all embarrassed ourselves and perhaps not done the right thing. Do you know that's exactly why Jesus died on a cross? He had to do something that would be sufficient to forgive your sins. He had to do something so epic that your sin could be forgiven and that you could be brought back into relationship with God himself. You see, on that cross, he carried all of your mess ups, all of your sins, all of your embarrassments, all of the times when you've accidentally and willfully done the wrong thing. You see, Jesus didn't stay on a cross. He was buried, having died, big style died. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again. So he's no longer dead. This Jesus that a lot of us here love and follow and serve, he's alive. And he wants to be part of your life. But you know, you've got to decide, am I going to follow him or am I not going to follow him? And so I'm just going to give an opportunity. If there's somebody who has never said to Jesus, do you know what? I want in on this life that you offer. I want to be forgiven. I want you to clear up my mess ups. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you in just a second, because I believe that the Father is here and he wants you to be in relationship with him. And perhaps there's somebody who, as I said, hasn't really been walking with Jesus, even though you used to know him long ago. You're just like, I've not really given myself fully to following Jesus. Do you know what? Today is the day to come back. And you might know the story of the prodigal son who just ran away from his daddy and did all kinds of embarrassing things. And his dad didn't condemn him when he chose to come back. His dad ran towards him with his arms open wide. He hugged him. He wouldn't let him go. And he put on the biggest possible party to celebrate that he was back. And that's how God looks at you this morning. If you're feeling, actually, I can't come back to God, I've messed up too badly, God says, no, I'm the Father who is running towards you. My arms are open wide. Would you come back into my embrace? So if you've never given your life to serving and following Jesus before, or if you want to come back today, every eye is going to close, and I just want you to put your hand up and say, yep. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Three people have indicated that they want to get close with Jesus again. So to give them dignity and space, I'm going to pray a prayer. And as a whole church, would you repeat what I say with those three people so they've got some dignity and some space to do business with God? Is that okay? So Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I want to come back to you this morning. I want to come back to you this morning. Thank you that your arms are open wide. thank you that your arms are open wide. Thank you that your first response to me, thank you that your first response to me is love, is love. Thank you that you are willing to forgive me. So I say sorry for everything that I have done. So I say sorry for everything I have done that has fallen short of your standards. That has fallen short of your standards. You might just want to list them in front of God. And again, let's say thank you that your word says, thank you that your word says that when we confess our sins, that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will forgive us our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your forgiveness. Thank you that I am cleaned. Sorry, thank you that I am clean of my sin. Thank you that you love me. Help me, Jesus, to live my life for you. I invite you into my heart. So I'm just going to pray over us as a church. Jesus, thank you for these awesome people. Thank you that there is there's such potential in this room, Lord God. Thank you that there is calling. Thank you that there are ministries. There are dreams being birthed here this morning of things that could be done for you. Thank you that we are on an epic adventure with you, Lord God. Thank you life is never dull with you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that it's a life of faith, but it's a life of joy, Lord God. So strengthen your people, I pray. Thanks that you're Emmanuel, God with us, the one who never leaves us, forsakes us, walks out on us. Thanks that you love us. And Jesus, for the three people who have just indicated this morning that they either want to know you for the first time or come back, Father, I pray that you would place so much of the Holy Spirit inside of them that they would be equipped, strengthened, inspired, motivated to live with you and for you, Lord God. So we love you, Lord Jesus. Would you help us to know what our assignment is as individuals, as a church? And would you help us to align with others and with you, Father, to get this job done? Because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.